Welcome to Mission Peak. We hope you enjoy this recording of our service, and we hope to see you on Sunday morning. Thanks for listening.
Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see you all. I missed you all last Sunday while I was away. It's great to see your faces again. We got a few announcements I want to make before we get going. I'll try not to belabor them too much. But we just have a lot going on. One thing is some of the middle schoolers thought they'd be on a field trip today, but we're postponing that because the time just didn't work for enough people. So they're going to be meeting today as normal. So if you're a middle schooler here today, you will meet with your class just like normal. We also coming up have a nonviolent communication workshop. It's kind of a second follow-up to a larger class we did last year. And this one is really focused on communicating in difficult relationships. I know none of us need that training. I mean, we're all experts or we don't have any difficult relationships. But just in case that speaks to you a little bit, here in this room next Friday evening from 6 to 9 p.m., we'll have this workshop. It's led by Lachelle Lo Chow? She's awesome. Her name will not even be necessary. She's so incredible. But she will be here to lead this class. She led us last year. It was really, really wonderful for everyone who attended. So I hope you can be here. There is a suggested donation of $25, but don't let that be the reason you don't participate. There is no bar there if you need to be here and ask for some help. That's not a problem. So we hope you're a part of that. We have a new to you, you class going on today after our service. So if you've been hanging out for us for a while, I know we already have 9 or 10 people signed up, but if you are still looking to join us, we will be in here actually from 11:30 to 1:30 this afternoon. So that's if you've just been kind of hanging out and getting to know us, you're not a member yet, you want to know more about this congregation or about Unitarian Universalism, please come join us, like I said, from 11:30 to 1:30 in this room and lunch will be served. There's also child care if you have children with you. And that will be the second half of that class will be next Sunday as well. Another thing going on today is that we have our first garden party going on at our site where we're going to be starting this garden about 2 or 3 miles from here. So is anyone planning on heading over to that? I know a few of you are going to be able to come to this first party. Hey, Drew, would you do me a favor? Would you stand up for a second? Go over to that board over there where that foot is and move it up a square. This is our pathway to our 20th anniversary celebration. Mission Peak is turning 20 in May, and every week we're just marking our movement towards that date. Thank you, Drew, so much for moving us one step closer to that goal. And I really highly recommend if you have some free time today. I know we have a lot going on, but they'll be over in the garden from 12 to 2, and we can give you directions to that. Deanna, you want to stand up for a second? Deanna, as many of you have met, is our outreach coordinator. She'll be really spearheading that project. So if you have questions, talk to her. Absolutely. And you should talk to her even if you don't have questions because she's pretty neat. One final note before we start in here is there's a slight little misprint in the order of service. The first song it says we're going to be singing is actually the prelude. The first song it says the prelude is the one we're going to sing. But, you know, just let it happen. It'll be great. That being said, I will welcome our shoe-moving Drew Wilson up to the pulpit to give us a pulpitory about the canvas.
Well, I'm bursting with pride for moving that shoe up one notch. And for the last few years, I've found myself often telling people just how proud I am of Mission Peak. In fact, I am bursting with pride for Mission Peak, and I want to tell you some of the reasons. I am proud of Mission Peak because of how many members I've seen blossom from their experiences here. They come in shy, hurt, frustrated, or unsure of themselves, and here they find their voices, heal their wounds, learn tolerance and understanding, and discover their talents. I've seen this happen many times, and it has also happened to me. For example, believe it or not, I used to be terrified of talking to strangers, including newcomers. But because I wanted to help Mission Peak grow, I forced myself to greet newcomers, and now I quite enjoy it. Rest of you should try that too. In other words, I am proud of Mission Peak because we encourage personal and spiritual growth in our members and friends and really do this. In some cases, the personal growth has been more profound. to the point of transformation. That's right. Attending, worshiping, and volunteering at Mission Peak can be a transformative experience. This fire of personal transformation requires, as the Reverend Kathleen Cox puts it, maintaining a crucible of safety in our church. That means members must trust each other and tolerate the missteps that may happen when any of us, or even the whole congregation, try something new or different. And attending that class on the 28th will help you with that too. Thus, folks feel safe to find out who they are and who they want to be, and so can our church. We have this trust and acceptance here because we do promote and practice acceptance and respect for one another, while keeping in mind the inherent worth and dignity of all persons. Encouraging spiritual growth, acceptance of one another, and recognizing the inherent worth and dignity of all? Gee, doesn't that sound like a good set of principles? Maybe we should adopt them. I am proud of Mission Peak because of our commitment to learning at all ages. From a great religious education program, a rich adult education curriculum, to fantastic and thought-provoking sermons. By this, we accelerate each other's personal and spiritual growth, helping us to be the very best people we can be. Many of these classes also give our members the tools they need to practice our principles in real life. And finally, I am bursting with pride because we have come such a long way in our first 20 years and now have a vital, energetic, and well-organized church. And because of this and the can-do spirit here, we have leapt into the Leap of Faith program with enthusiasm and gusto and are now committed to our first all-congregation social action project, which you can help with this afternoon, to help spread what we have found here into the rest of the community. The community garden is just the first step of many we will be taking during our next 20 years so that Mission Peak can really make a difference in the world. One other bit of personal growth: I no longer have qualms about asking for money if I believe the cause or institution is sufficiently worthy. And as you can tell, I believe Mission Peak is worthy of a lot of support, including generous quantities of our treasure. That's because it takes significant amounts of money for Mission Peak to continue doing all it has been doing, and even more to expand what it does in the many ways we want it to. By the way, this year we are leaping into online pledge payments through PayPal and Walla to make paying your pledge as easy as possible. Details will be forthcoming. And of course, you can still pay by your generous pledge by check as well. So please come to the fellowship dinner on March 29th to celebrate all that you love about Mission Peak. And while you are deciding on the size of your pledge, remember to adjust it upwards until it feels really good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Drew. Now I invite Peak Rocks to get us started with Rocket Man.
No.
We are going to sing together right now.
Yeah, that's
all right. Please rise in body or spirit and join us in singing Best of My Love.
Look at the way that we live. wasting our time on cheap talk and wine. Left us so little to give. That same old crowd was like a cold dark cloud.
Join me in the invocation with our mission statement. The foundation of Mission Peak is love.
We are a spiritual community of open minds, spiritual growth and healing, ourselves and all people.
Together, we strive to live compassionately and courageously. Recommend, right?
Yes.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m.
You can stand up and dance if you want. It's up to you.
And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find. Not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, I'm a rocket man. Rocket man. Round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket Man, but an attitude's a pair along. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket man, a rocket man. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find. Not the man they think I am at home. No, no, no. I'm a rocket man. A rocket man. But it had to use a pair along. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find. Not the man they think I am at home. No, no, no. Rockin' man, burning out his fears of ever long. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
It's amazing how much confusion one little misprint can cause. But we should be rolling now, as it is planned there on the order of service. One person who knows how to dot I's and cross T's, though, is Robert Jensen. Now, I know a lot of you know Robert. Are you in here with us now, Robert? Okay, come here, because I want to embarrass you real good here. We all know this is a special guy here. He's pretty special, but we're not the only ones who's caught on to this. And this week, Robert accomplished, finally, Eagle Scout. He has done it. There's a lot of hard work that went into this moment. So if you need a knot tied or like extreme cooking lessons, you know who to call. But it would be our honor if you would light the chalice with us today.
If you join me in the unison chalice lighting words. We light this chalice to remind ourselves to treat all people kindly because they are our brothers and sisters. To take good care of the earth because it is our home. To live lives full of goodness and love because that is how we become the best people we can be.
Thank you. So I am going to be leading our time for all ages today. So if there's anyone else who wants to come forward, please join me up here. But I'll be talking to all of you today. And I'm going to be talking about, do we need some more chairs up here? Can you, you got it right there? We're going to be talking about jumping to conclusions. Have any of you jumped to conclusions before? Yeah, a couple times. Anyone else out there? Yeah, a few times. It's amazing how our brain, right, will like fill in information for us and we'll be like, we already know, even though we have part of the information, we'll think we know it all, right? So, for instance, if I put up a bar there, but then I put those words. Can anyone tell me still? Even though we don't have all the information, can we tell what it says? Yeah, here, what do you think that says? Jumping to conclusions. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Huh. Anyone care to read that for me? Yeah, give that a try for me. Humoring. Yeah, it gets real hard after that. So this is the thing. Often when we jump to conclusions, right, we have some information and we think we can fill in the rest, and a lot of times we're right, but sometimes we're wrong. Spectacularly wrong, right? That isn't even anywhere close to what we thought it was going to say. Now, I see these pictures appear on Facebook every once in a while. Have you ever seen this? This is not actually a picture of a woman with the head of a dog. It's a picture of a woman, right? She's leaning back and the dog's leaning forward and everything just lined up. But our brain kind of thinks, well, that sure looks like a woman with a dog's head. Now, it's a little harder to see this one, but it kind of looks like there's a teeny man riding this woman's back. He happens to be leaning back, and the stripe of her dress is the color you want to believe her leg is. They didn't plan this. It just, you know, it just happened. And our brain wants to make sense of these things. So we see a baby with a man's head. Because that's just what our brain makes of that image. That's how we take that one in, even though we know that's probably not a baby with a man's head, right? Now, we've all seen optical illusions before, and they make us realize something. What do we think that we see with? What do we think we see with? No cheating. Yeah, what do we think we see with? With our eyes, right? We think we see with our eyes. But what do we really see with? Our minds, that's right. We really see with that thing that's inside your head because it's interpreting everything that's coming in through your eyes. Yeah. So, has anyone seen one of these before? Something like this? Yeah, what's going on here? That's right. Those two yellow bars are actually exactly the same length. But our brain is doing some funny stuff when it looks at this. We know, like, have you ever looked down railroad tracks? That's what your brain thinks it's doing right now. And it thinks that there's a distance going on here because they appear to be going away from you. So your brain is doing all this extra work. It's not just telling you what it sees. It's telling you what it thinks it sees. And it thinks that yellow bar is farther away, so it must be bigger. Here's another one. You seen that one before? So what's going on here on this one? You forgot? It looks like those red lines are bending, right? But those red lines are perfectly straight. This is a really neat one. There's a lot of stuff going on here, so let me unpack this for you for a second. Has anyone ever seen Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of you? You know when, like, the Millennium Falcon suddenly goes really fast? What happens in the windows? Yeah, the stars turn into lines, right? They just turn into lines. And you think things are moving fast towards those lines. Our brain interprets straight lines, especially pointing off to the distance like that, as movement. So when you look at this, your brain thinks, I'm moving towards it. And your brain knows something else that you might not think about. But when you move through two parallel lines in real life, they appear to bend as you get close to them. Your brain knows that. Even if you're not thinking about it right now, your brain knows that. And another thing is, it takes time for the light to hit your eyes and then go to your brain. It takes about a tenth of a second. So your brain doesn't actually tell you what it sees. It tells you what it thinks that will be like in a tenth of a second. So you actually see the future. It's just the present, if that makes any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, I know. But your brain is imagining what the future might look like. So if I throw a ball at you that's going fast, you'll be able to get out of the way of it. Because it'll guess where it's going to be. That's a really important thing our brain does. And so, you put all that together, when we look at this, our brain is trying to tell us the future of what it will look like as we move towards those two red lines. They'll bend, that's what it thinks, even though we know they're straight. So optical illusions expose how fragile our brain's sense of reality is. You've been holding on to a question here for a long time, Spider-Man. What's up? What's going to eat me? Zombies. Warning, zombies will eat us. Just a little warning there. So I want to show you one more of these. Now, In that square up on the top, there's an A. It might be hard to see for some of you back there, but in that top square, there's an A. And then can you see there's a B square there too? Those squares are the same color.
What?
Yes. Tell me what we're seeing here. Very close. That's part of what's going on here. There's a bunch of things going on here. So now, you don't believe me, right? I'm not even totally sure I believe me, okay? But we'll get there. So let's talk about what we see going on here. Do you see a shadow in this picture?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, your brain sees it too. Now, it sees some other things. It knows there's a pattern going on here that every other checkerboard is light and every other one is dark. Right? Y'all see that? So your brain is saying there's a shadow. There's a square that's light, it should be light, and there's a square that should be dark, and I've got to keep those separate in my mind. I've got, so you have like a little effect studio in your head, like in Hollywood, that's changing the color of that square. How you are seeing it as a different color, you really are. So I didn't believe this one. I got to get through you here for a second. I was like, this is just the web messing with me, right? So I took this picture and I put it into Photoshop. And I actually cut out that bottom square, and I moved it up. Watch what happens. It's the same color. It really is. Your brain is changing the color of that square. Whoa. Yeah. Okay? I know, man. I didn't buy it either. I had to do this myself. To get it. It is, and I still don't get it. Now, I want to end with a pleasing note. The lovely Angelina Jolie, we recognize her, right? But, whoa, what just happened there? So what happened there?
Well, when you turn it upside down, they have to make it to look normal upside down. It doesn't look normal upright side up.
Doesn't look normal. We flipped her eyes and her lips. Your brain sees things in pieces and it puts together enough stuff and it says, yep, that's right, moving on. I know who that is, it's Angelina Jolie. But when you flip it over, no, not so much. So what I want you to take away from this is not everything we think we're sure of is the whole story. As you go through life, it's important to think certain things, some truths about how the world unfolds. But you'll get more information as you get older. We all continue to get more information. Who out there still believes all the same stuff they believed 10 years ago? Anyone? Last week? Maybe, yeah. Something like that. But I just ask you to keep an open mind, even if zombies have eaten it already. That should just clear some more space, actually, for the new stuff that's coming down the tracks. And never think you've seen the whole picture, okay? You got it? We're going to be talking some more about that in here today, but we're going to sing you off to your classrooms first. What's the question? Zombies! Zombies!
Now have the opportunity to engage in one of the most cherished rituals here at Mission Peak, giving you the opportunity to greet one another. Please take a moment to say hi to those who are sitting near you and introduce yourself to people who you don't know.
As a community, when we gather, it is also our practice to mark the events that shape our lives. Not a time for announcements. It's a time for really getting here fully with the people you love and care about. We ask that you begin by standing where you are and sharing your first name. Even that, absolutely. Thank you. I have to say, I expected to hear from Graham today. I'm just going to put that out there. Maybe you want to just take one-on-one bragging through the congregation later, but I believe the Canadian men won Olympic gold, you know, early this morning. I want to do you a favor, you know? I want to celebrate that with you. So, please. We are, yes, please. If we have any bowlers in the crowd.
It's a family event, so.
Wonderful.
There's five here.
Awesome.
So.
Thank you. For all that we have spoken into this space that we make holy with our love, I am just so thankful. For all that you have kept on your hearts, because it's just not ready to come out yet, I understand. We have wonderful pastoral associates, and myself and Reverend Barbara Myers, who would love to meet with you through the week or any other time when you need to talk, so please let us know. I'm going to offer us a short time of meditation and silence here, so I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, as comfortable as possible. And as we make some time for the magic of this silence, which I will break with the sound of the bell, I offer these words from Richard Bach for your contemplation. Don't believe what your eyes are telling you. All they show is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know, and you'll see the way to fly. I believe that our next move here is that we will all rise in body or spirit and join Pete Brocks in singing our next piece of congregational music, California Dreamin'. Thank you.
the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray.
Thank you so much. It isn't often that we're able to get a glimpse into the intimate lives of people who lived in the past and the mores of the society in which they lived. It is rarer still that such an experience has the potential to move us to take action in our present circumstances. This afternoon, some of us from the congregation are going to be making a trip to the Exploratorium in San Francisco to view, among the other wonderful and exciting offerings there, an exhibit entitled The Changing Face of Mental Illness. This exhibit has been created using the suitcases and trunks of former patients that were left behind in a psychiatric institution, Willard State Hospital in New York, when it closed in 1995 after 126 years of operation. These suitcases are also the subject of a book by Darby Penny and Peter Statsny entitled The Lives They Left Behind, Suitcases from a State Hospital Attic, published in 2008. The book tells stories of a few of the patients whose suitcases were found by researchers after the hospital closed. Human beings resonate with stories. There's something about hearing and seeing a story that can deeply engage our imagination and conscience. To me, knowing the stories of people's experience is an important way to connect the reality of people with mental illness in the recent past, what they went through, what society of their time did to them. It lets me consider what we do now and consider whether I want to accept that a society that I live in has these practices. If I can't accept it, the stories will motivate me to take action. People with mental illness can be especially vulnerable, so I have found that I need to be especially careful to listen to their stories and help protect them from mistreatment. They need to know that someone sees the divine spark of humanity within them. To give you a taste for the kinds of stories that were uncovered, I'll give you brief summaries of three of them from Penny and Statsny's book. The authors started out with the contents of the suitcases located in the were able to locate the medical records and tried to contact friends and family members of the person who were still living in order to try and paint as complete a picture as possible of the individual who owned the suitcase. The first story is about Rodrigo Lagon, who was sent by his Filipino family to study in the United States. He lived in cities with few minorities. In Chicago, he met and fell in love with a white girl who eventually spurned him. Shortly afterwards, he began hearing negative and condemning voices. His landlady reported his depressed and odd behavior, and he was taken to a mental hospital where he stayed with little treatment being given to him. He considered himself deprived of his liberty rather than hospitalized for treatment. At some point, the voices stopped. Years later, a social worker mentioned in his chart The 51 years of institutionalization appears to have been a mistake as far as duration, as this man appears to be in perfect mental condition now. 51 years. Still, he remained hospitalized, a model patient by all records, for another 13 years, until he died in 1981 at the age of 83, after 64 years in the hospital. Imagine 64 years. The next story is about a woman named Ethel Smalls, who shortly after her 40th birthday experienced a number of traumatic events. She divorced her abusive husband. Two of her daughters died. She had a miscarriage. She had surgery to remove a tumor. Her father died of cancer, and she lost her home and most of her possessions. Who wouldn't be overwhelmed after a series of incidents like that? She was sent to a mental hospital after a falling out with her landlady, who said she wouldn't get out of bed and that she was argumentative. Unable to cope, she was sent to a mental hospital where she preferred to think of herself as suffering from many physical ailments rather than accepting her various psychiatric diagnoses. She remained in the hospital for 43 years. 43 years. And she was there when she died at age 83. Finally, we have a story about Margaret Dunleavy, a native of Scotland, who, while trying to get her nursing license, worked in a hospital in New York and contracted tuberculosis. After her discharge from the sanatorium, she worked as a private nurse, but was plagued with physical health problems and gossip about her relationship with her sweetheart, Arthur, who had also been a TB patient with her. At some point after Arthur died, her doctor referred her to Willard Psychiatric Hospital. She was at a complete loss to understand why she was brought there. She remained there for over 40 years, with her chart reporting that she was delusional, paranoid, and hearing voices, all of which she denied. 40 years. On the face of it seems like these three people were left behind like their suitcases. They were mistreated by the mental health system of the day. We can ask, oh my God, this is outrageous. How could this have happened in our own society in only the recent past? Why didn't somebody do something about it? We can congratulate ourselves that today we have seen the light and people are now not routinely warehoused for decades in hospitals the way away from public view. On the other hand, we can engage more deeply and listen to some voices from today of people who have mental illness and realize that we still have a way to go. I'll give some examples. A large reason that these hospitals were closed down was to save money. In the 1950s and 60s, there was a dramatic downsizing of state mental hospitals so that people could be treated in community settings. Unfortunately, community treatment was not adequate to handle all of the people. I maintain that a society with a conscience would do something about this. In California, the Mental Health Services Act gives us access to funds to make a difference. We need to hold the administrators of the act accountable. Hold them accountable. Many people with mental health problems, including people who come to the mental health center where I work, live in board and care homes. These are homes where a number of people receive room and board and have their medication supervised in exchange for receiving most of their disability check. Some of them are very nice. However, some are not so nice or not so safe for those vulnerable and sometimes fragile people. To put vulnerable people in unsafe and unfriendly places is insupportable. It's insupportable. Treatment by today's mental health system can consist of as little as a 5-minute appointment every 3 months to renew their psychiatric drug prescriptions. It's very common for people to have as many as four or five different psychiatric drugs prescribed. As little as 5 minutes to look at the effects of all those drugs which might interact. The saddest cases I've seen are people who walk around in a stupor because of being over-medicated and can't do anything with their lives other than sit and stare. Unfortunately, this is not uncommon. This is not uncommon. Some people also get treatment by therapists to talk over their lives and problems and get insight in how to handle them, but many don't. Some of them are able to participate in programs and centers like the one that I work in, but many are not. I find this unacceptable. It's simply unacceptable. The rise of patients' rights groups in the last 20 years has made a dent in some of these practices. They have fought for recovery-based treatment, for self-determination, and basically for being treated like human beings with gifts and capabilities, just like anyone else. I am right there with them. These observations suggest to me that we need to work to ensure that community-based services are available to those who need them and that they are adequate to help people build meaningful and purposeful lives. This means working with the state and county offices so that they understand what is needed. The California Mental Health Services Act provides funding for mental health activities, and we need to understand their priorities and give them direction. We need to make sure that board and care homes are places that nurture people and are places that they really want to live in. This involves getting involved with county behavioral health care services who supervise the board and care homes to be sure they understand what's happening, what's really happening, and that they are doing their jobs. We need to advocate for adequate mental health treatment. 5 minutes every 3 months is not adequate. This is controlled by agencies that determine how disability money is spent. We can become a stakeholder in the process. We can also work to make sure that alternative approaches that cost a lot less are available to people who want and need them. We need to meet, befriend, listen to, and support people who have mental health problems. We need to guard their rights like we guard the rights of anyone else. We need to work with family members who are struggling to understand and cope with what has happened to their loved one. When people's and families' rights are in jeopardy, we need to be willing to talk to our public officials and tell the truth to power, as they say. Often when I speak to congregation about mental health, I ask people to rise if they or someone they love is living with a mental illness. When I did this some years ago at Mission Peak, nearly everyone stood up. This happens everywhere I speak. It is not unusual. I ask you to think of yourself or your loved one with a mental illness and ask how you would want to have them treated by our society and then move forward with what that initiative calls you to do. My friends, these are precious human beings. Seeing the divine spark in each person is what motivates me to begin and continue this path of ministry. Safeguarding their lives is a holy act. Safeguarding their lives is a holy act. I invite you to be motivated as well and help make a difference. I hope you can join us this afternoon, and if you can't, perhaps visiting that exhibit sometime before it closes at the end of March, I believe. It should be an enlightening trip. So be it. Amen.
I spoke to you about optical illusions earlier, and I want to tell you that one thing that is no optical illusion is that Mission Peak UU is growing. Many different ways we are growing. We're offering more adult religious education classes. We're teaching more kids in our classrooms. We're growing out of these walls and into the community with our garden project and new outreach coordinator. And one thing this means is that there are more opportunities for you to get involved and more need for your generosity. This community exists because of the support of its members who give their time, their talents, and their treasures. And if you're looking for an opportunity to grow, I hope you will look into some of the ways you can get involved here with your time and talent. And as Drew spoke about earlier, it's also essential that people share some of their treasure. The offering is a time when we welcome your financial gifts towards all the beautiful unfolding ministry that is Mission Peak UU. The offering will now be gratefully given and received. Ushers, please come forward as the Peak Rocks once again entertain us with their gift of music. This community organization, we give grateful thanks. And I invite you all to rise in body or spirit one more time as we join in our final piece of congregational music. I believe it'll be pretty familiar to many.
Purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep, to everything turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather souls together, to everything turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and the time under heaven, a time to gain, a time to gain, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to reap from embracing, to everything turn, 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 there is a season, turn, turn, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time of love, a time of hate, a time of peace. I swear it's not too late for everything. Turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and the time for under heaven.
All right.
I invite you to remain standing and hold the hand or shoulder of those who are near you from the benediction. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage. For deep down, there is another truth. You are not alone. Go in peace. Return in love.
California.
Into a church, I pass along the way.